Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play. This episode is brought to you by Bear and Federated Insurance.
Welcome to the Painter Marketing Mastermind Podcast, a show created to help painting company owners build a thriving painting business that does well over $1 million in annual revenue. I'm your host, Brandon Pierpont, founder of Painter Marketing Pros and creator of the popular PCA educational series, Learn, Do, Grow, Marketing for Painters. In each episode, I'll be sharing proven tips, strategies, and processes from leading experts in the industry on how they found success in their painting business. We will be interviewing owners of the most successful painting companies in North America and learning from their experiences. In this series titled The Dream Team, Corey and Chad Leister of Inspired By You will be discussing building a championship team, how they think about specialization versus diversification in their company, and finally, how to move from a supportive role to an effective business partner as a spouse. In episode one, Corey and Chad dived into the importance of logistics of building a championship team for growth. In episode two, this episode, they will weigh the pros and cons of specialization versus diversification and discuss the balance they have found while running Inspired By You. And in episode three, the final episode, Corey and Chad will open up about their transition to working together as a couple and how to navigate this at times treacherous road successfully. If you want to ask Corey and Chad questions related to anything in this podcast series, you can do so in our exclusive Painter Marketing Mastermind podcast forum on Facebook. Just search for Painter Marketing Mastermind podcast forum on Facebook and request to join the group, or type in the URL facebook.com/groups/Painter Marketing Mastermind. Again, that URL is facebook.com/groups/Painter Marketing Mastermind. There you can ask Corey and Chad questions directly by tagging them with your question so you can see how anything discussed here applies to your particular painting company. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Brandon. How are you?
Doing well. Episode two, we're back. Yep. I'm excited for this one. Corey, I know this is, you know, we've done some live virtual webinars, events, roundtables, things like that together. And I feel like multiple times people have approached you asking, hey, is it better to specialize? Because you talk about your focus on kitchen cabinetry. And then I know you talked about potentially moving into some more, I think it was countertops or remodeling. And then you had some interesting answers to that. So I'm glad that we're getting to take a whole episode to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Chad, I hear you're the man for the job here as well. So you're going to get to talk some this episode.
We might give him some airtime.
I'm good just listening.
well, you're part of it, brother. So I wish I could just listen too sometimes, but I can't. Got to participate. Maybe we can start with just, you know, we talked a lot about how the company started in terms of the personnel, you know, the first person you guys brought on and the cultural fit and how you guys have learned to build a dream team. Let's talk today about how the company started in terms of the focus. Niche, and then whether that has evolved, and if so, how it has evolved over time.
I'll start, and then I'll let Chad come in because he kind of entered in with all of the other diversification that we've currently added. But when we first started, I was out visiting my sister. I was doing furniture, home decor, you know, all kinds of stuff, wall murals, things like that. And so I knew that I wanted to form a business. When I got home from that trip, I got a call from one of my mom's friends asking me to paint her kitchen cabinets. So our first job was a cabinet job. But initially it was like, okay, I want to start a business. I've got one kitchen under my belt. And I just need to figure out what I want to do. Cause I've always had a passion for art, like any kind of medium. Pottery, sculpture, painting, drawing, like I loved it all. And I love teaching too. So initially I was doing furniture, home decor, kitchens. I was running classes on how to do your own home decor. things like that. So I was just kind of incorporating all of the things that I love into it. And then it was just kind of shooting all over the place, trying to figure out what was going to stick. And cabinets, it worked. It was pretty lucrative. It made us money. Furniture artistry, as much as I love it, it did not make any money because people are only willing to pay so much. So kitchens were, it was lucrative. It was challenging because no matter how many kitchens you do, there's always a new problem to be solved. And it required a lot of growth. That was all things that I love too. So it was, you know, that constant learning and constant challenging. To this day, we've done hundreds and hundreds of kitchens and we're constantly learning something new. So to be able to specialize in something like cabinet refinishing, it met all of my desires for growth. We just specialized in kitchen cabinets for the past several years. And it wasn't until recently where we've started to add on additional services, because when people go into a kitchen, like what we were finding is people were trying to track down all of these other contractors to get their countertops and backsplash and flooring. Cause when they're doing their kitchens, a lot of times they're doing a lot of this other stuff too, interior painting, things like that. And because we specialized, we were missing out on a whole bunch of income that could be, you know, those streams of revenue could be directed back into our business. And so with Chad's help, he kind of took the reins on that. Chad, I'll let you pick up from there, but Chad deals with all of our countertops, backsplash, flooring. He connects with our interior painter. We do new rebuilds. So we still have our niche, like, which is the cabinet refinishing. But we've added all of these other complementary areas to serve our customers at a greater capacity.
Yeah, Chad? I mean,
take your time to shine, Chad.
Take it
away.
Yeah,
when I took over in 2020, the sales part, I just kept going into homes and everybody wanted to do countertops and backsplashes. And then we'd have to wait for those contractors to get done before we come in, because we prefer to do it before we paint, just in case they mess up the cabinets. I was like, why ain't we just doing this and taking care of this? We know plumbing people, we know demo people, we know backsplash people. We Classic Rock, a distributor of counter, you know, granite and quartz. They're right down the street from us. We painted their kitchen, the owner's kitchen. So why don't we partner with all these guys and then we can control the project? So you know, that's what's happened since then. You know, and it's been great. The countertops, the backsplash, you know, new doors. We partnered with a door company to do new doors on all of our oak kitchens. All of our oak kitchens get new doors. And, you know, I dabbled into the flooring, but now I just kind of, you know, just refer people out to the flooring and I know that they'll get it done. Now the interior part is coming on the back end of things now too. But the biggest thing is all these are happening are bonus stuff to our business. Our main niche still is cabinet. That's who we're known for. And that's what we want to be known for. And then we do this and we do that. We do this and we do that. But we want to be known for cabinets. And then we add on, we have add-ons.
So will you, if someone contacts you about an interior painting project, will you go do it?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. No doubt. And that's coming where, you know, people are starting to look at us for that. But at the end of the day, you know, I never want to get away from the niche of the cabinets. But I think people will know us inside the home. We want to be more inside people's home and develop more inside their home than outside the home. There's a 4-month point where we're trying to do interior exterior expansion and it just didn't work because then people forgot about our cabinets. And that was a big red flag for me. It's like, hold up, let's get back to the basics and just focus on cabinets and we can add this stuff on. You know, this business started with the goal being one a month to pay for our kids' private education. Expanding into these other realms doesn't have to happen all at once. It could be one project a week. It could be, you know, one project a month. So eventually it'll ramp up to like what we do with cabinets.
Yeah. So the, I guess people look at specialization versus diversification in different ways. I think people generally like to diversify, overly like to diversify. It feels safer. You know, there's more ways to take money. You don't want to give up opportunity, a little bit of a scarcity mindset. But then because this idea, okay, if you only do cabinets or if cabinets are your primary focus, well, what about exterior painting projects, right? There's all these exteriors. You guys are missing out on all that money. So how do you know, how do you draw the line? Because we could take that even farther. What about the roof? You know, if they're remodeling a house, who knows? They might replace the roof. Why don't you guys open up a roofing? And if you're doing roofing, of course, you're going to want to do gutters. So now, so where do you draw the line between, hey, this is going to be a cross-sell or an upsell versus, you know what, this is too far?
Yeah, I think everybody has their own bandwidth of what they can do. You know, we're in a season of our lives where our kids are very heavily in sports. You know what I mean? And it's even in our family and seeing some of our brothers and sister-in-laws, you know what I mean, do different things. Their kids are at different ages. You know, they're not, everybody's life is different. You know, some people are running businesses. Some people have kids that are high active in sports. You know, it just depends what you can do with your bandwidth. To me, Corey's really good at cabinets and our team's really good at cabinets, and that's the foundation. And then we'll add on what we can. It's like bonus. We project what we're going to do in the company off the cabinets, and everything else is bonus. And then we're going to get pretty good. Everything Corey and I have ever done, we wanted to be excellent at, and we wanted to be great at. So we already know interior is going to be great, like the cabinets. We already know countertops and backsplashes are going to be great, just like the cabinets. But the foundation is still going to be cabinets.
So Corey,
yeah, that's just preference.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Oh, no, I think you had a point. I was going to shift a little bit.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, your bandwidth, but also just being, I feel like everything that can lend itself to the cabinets is something that we're willing to bring on. Like the countertops, backsplash is a no-brainer. Interior walls is a no-brainer because after we spray the cabinets, like if there's touch-ups or stuff that needed to be done, like that's a no-brainer. Exterior, that's outside of the home. It's not a need, like it doesn't really lend itself to cabinets. Roofing doesn't lend itself to cabinets. So anything that we can tie in, like we are known for cabinets. We are the cabinet specialists. We just got back from California because we did a kitchen out there because they wanted us to come out. You know what I mean? Like that's what we're known for. That's our specialty. And we're the experts with cabinet refinishing. So we don't want to divert our attention too far away from cabinets. So as long as it can lend itself to cabinet refinishing and we feel it can be an additional service that we can offer our customers, it makes sense. And so we can draw that line pretty easily. And we have ventured, like in complete transparency, like we ventured into exterior. We ventured into some of those things that they kind of were outside of the scope that we wanted to keep it into. And it didn't work so well. So we try and question ourselves like, okay, is this going to serve our customers at a high level within, you know, kind of our wheelhouse of what we're known for?
Yeah. So I know you guys mentioned you had looked into flooring or you tried flooring and now that's not really as much of a focus. You refer that stuff out. What about popcorn ceiling removal? What about wallpaper removal or wallpaper installation? Are you guys doing that stuff?
So yeah, we'll do wallpaper removal. Mm-hmm. You know, we have an experienced lead painter that knows how to do all that stuff. We don't get a lot of it right now, but yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, we're still in the very starting phases with interior. You know, I think it's actually going to probably one day bring more revenue in than the cabinets yearly. But people will still probably look at it as the cabinets who do interior.
Sure.
Right. Right. And stuff like popcorn ceiling removal, again, it's going to lend itself to cabinet refinishing because it is so much easier to mask a kitchen with a clean, smooth ceiling than it is to mask a popcorn ceiling kitchen. So if we're able to deliver that service, we go in and like we'll add new builds to, like, we have a guy that we work with who can go in and manufacture a new island for them or add crown or extend the cabinets up to the ceiling. So like that kind of stuff too. Any ways where we're able to just serve our customers.
So how long have you guys been doing these secondary or supplementary service offerings?
I've probably been on countertop ready to be in 2021.
Yeah, I was going to say October 2020 is when Jim Dorf came in and did a class with us. And he started kind of getting our wheels turning. And he was like, you're going into kitchens and there's so much money on the table to be had that you're losing because you're not offering these services. And he started getting our wheels turning, and then he and Chad had some conversations, and then Chad kind of took the reins on that.
Yeah. So I would say that started then, and the interior really didn't start till the end of last year.
Yeah.
And we haven't even begun to touch that yet, only because I've been super swamped with cabinet sales and just estimates that we haven't had enough time to really focus on even calling back all of our people that we've already serviced and let them know we're doing interior now.
So this to me, and I love you guys, so don't take this the wrong way. It might. I hope you don't. But the vibe I almost feel right now is the vibe of someone who starts a business just in general. And they're like, no, it's a great market opportunity. It's super simple, right? We're going to do this. People need it. And it's all going to be. And it's like everyone has a plan, you know, as Mike Tyson says, till they get punched in the face. And I feel like. And you guys have probably sat down and come up with hard rules. This just looks like a slippery slope to me, right? Like, are we just starting interior painting? We think it's going to be this bonus. No, we're the cabinet guys. We're definitely the cabinet guys who do interior painting. I feel like there are going to be hiccups here. And it's like, okay, where do we draw the line? Are we losing the focus of our business? Have you guys sat down and kind of thought hard about what could go wrong maybe with this?
Oh, yeah. We've been through a lot of wrong.
been there.
Like we've already been through a lot of wrong. We've figured out, okay, like this is not a direction that we want to go. And we've
exteriors,
been
exteriors, maybe an example.
Yeah. Oh, exteriors is a great example. Like we had some disasters with exterior painting. We're like, no, we're done. Flooring was another one. Like there was a big disaster with flooring. We're like, it's not worth it. Like we're done with that. And so it's been as business owners, there's a lot of try, fail, adjust. And yes. The great thing is, like, we have tried so many different things to come up with a proven system that works really well for us. And while it may work really well for us, it may not work well for everybody. Just like the subcontracting model, it works really well for some people, like Bradley Ellison, I think of. Like, it works amazing for him. For us, not so much. We love our team. We love our culture. We love, you know, it's so different. Our business model. But at the same time, it's been a lot of that, you know, I think the biggest thing about us, we're not afraid to fail. Like we will go and we will try it. And if it works, great. If not, we're going to adjust and we're going to figure it out and we're going to move forward. So
that's the we're not afraid to fail mantra and try, fail, adjust. I think that's, you guys are already running this successful company with a successful team and you're still humble enough and adventurous enough, you know, daring enough to go fail in different ventures. And that's okay. It doesn't make you a failure. Or it's not an embarrassment. It's just part of growing as an entrepreneur in a business.
Right.
I think people are afraid to do that. You know, if they go try it and they fail, well, there's a sense of shame there, but that's entrepreneurship. It's all try, fail, and adjust.
Well, I think when you have that growth mindset, you know, like if I fail, I'll just find another way. Like it's a winning mentality. It's like, you can't lose unless you stop trying. Like failure is not losing. Like you lose when you quit. Like when you fail, you just find another way. And so there's, it's just a different mindset.
Yeah, there was a mantra that I repeated over and over when I was early on and things were pretty difficult. I would say the only way I fail is if I quit, and I will not quit. And I would just say it over and over every single day. And if you don't quit, it's inevitable that you'll succeed. You have to really just be beyond help, which I've never met anyone in this space, or really anyone, period, who's that far beyond help. If you just apply yourself to right actions every day over an extended period of time, and you refuse to lay down and die, you will succeed. It's hard, but it's not that hard. It's not winning an Olympic gold medal. Just don't give up.
Yeah, no question.
So Corey, are you still doing the painting, or are you still involved with that?
So I wasn't. I was actually moving into a project manager role. Like that was the goal here. But we've recently had somebody leave. So yes, I'm stepping back into a little bit of the painting. It's 2 days a week, and it's not, I mean, I can definitely do it and get results, and like, it's not a factor, but we're moving in that direction. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we're looking to just find the right people for every position. And coming into this year, it was like, oh man, we're finally at a place where we've got everybody in the right positions, moving forward, functioning really well. And then, you know, you run into hiccups, then you adjust and you make it work, and you continue to move forward. But yeah, I still am in some of the production right now, temporarily, but that we're definitely moving in the direction where we won't have to be doing as much of the physical labor. I would love to just work more with the customers. I love that aspect of it.
Is there
help alleviate Chad too with some of the burden that he carries? Because if he was set free to just sell, it'd be lights out. But right now, because he is dealing with a lot of the relationships with all of the contractors and stuff, if I could alleviate some of that pressure off of him, that would be ideal.
Yeah. Is there any piece of you, because you're passionate about the people, you're passionate about the culture, but you're also passionate about the art. Is there any piece of you that is sad giving up that production?
You know, no.
I like art, but I don't like it that much.
No. I like it. I'm not sad about giving it up, because then I can do it because I want to do it and because I love to do it, not because I have to do it.
That makes sense.
So I'm not sad about giving it up at all, because I have people that I can trust to get the job done at the highest level. It was really cool. Today we do evaluations with our team quarterly, and I do two on Fridays, and I just had two this morning. And one of our teammates, just the way that our team functions, it's pretty incredible. But Kalila was in here, and she was just saying how she loves our team and the way that we want to perform for each other. We truly care about one another. And she said, for instance, she remembers being on site one day with Christine, and Christine says, I need to make sure that this is perfect, because a spray crew is coming on behind me tomorrow, and I want to make sure that they don't have to fix any of my mistakes. Right. And it's like that kind of, like, we want to do well for each other. And it's just a really, really cool environment. It's pretty neat.
That's very cool. So the way you said, I want to do it because I want to do it, right? Not because I have to. It reminds me of that book, E-Myth Revisited, by Michael Gerber. It talks about the bakery, I think, that the love baking. And so she opened this bakery. And if you haven't read the book, read it, E-Myth Revisited. And didn't end up really liking baking so much after a little while there, until she got her business in order.
Yeah, because it puts pressure on you to perform, you know. It's a different feeling. But it also, I mean, there's something to be said about that too. Like, when your back is up against the wall and you have to get a job done, like, there's something to be said about manning up and getting that done too. But at the same time, like, being able to do that work harder part, to get to the work smarter part, and to be able to just alleviate some of that pressure is pretty awesome.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's, it's interesting, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs do work hard. You know, we don't choose this road because it's easy, because Lord knows it's not easy. So that big inflection point of like, okay, you're a workhorse, you're a jack of all trades, you can do all these things and make it all work and fit it together and work harder and longer. At some point, you probably want to start working smarter, or else you're just going to burn yourself out. You're never really going to create a sellable asset. You know, Jason Paris talks a lot about that, like making your painting company sellable and truly an asset. If you are running everything and if it fully relies on you, then it's not transferable and you can't sell it.
So right. Well, and I think some people just have that badge of busy. They take pride
in their important work.
Yeah. And it's, I think that it's just a different mindset to get to another level.
I'd love to be on a beach somewhere, you know, like the Corona commercial, drinking a Corona, and also be important. That would be cool. Have to be those would be important.
Yep. Yep. I feel that.
That would last for about 2 days with me till I was bored out of my mind. So let's go into the, you know, for the people listening, obviously for you guys, you're passionate about cabinets, Corey, you started there. You guys are, you take pride in your work. So everything you do, you're going to make sure you're exceptional at it. You're not going to use subcontract. You have a better ability to control the quality of your work, but you're also passionate about the culture and the people and impacting people's lives. And that's harder, obviously, to do in a subcontractor model. For people who are listening to this, and maybe it's not cabinets, maybe they're thinking about just doing interior versus exterior, maybe just thinking exterior. How should they think about specialization versus diversification?
Yeah. Chad, do you want to go first? I'll let you go first.
It's time to shine, Chad.
Well, I've always believed being your local expert. I mean, be the expert at what you do. And I think, you know, what I believe in, you can't be all things for all people. You can't be the expert in everything. You know, find something, find a niche, and be an expert at it. Be the local expert at it. Be the people that are always going to come to you locally. It's like that. Less choices, more sales. Yeah, I mean, that's just been my mindset for a long time. You know, you give so many choices. Sometimes you don't get any of the sale because you're not the expert. So I'd say, man, be the expert. Are you the expert? Corey's the expert in this area. The reason why we brought on a marketing team was because we wanted people to not even Google anymore. We were going to be in their face all the time locally. And if you want your cabinets done, you're going to call that local girl. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to think about it. She's the expert locally. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, and I piggyback on that and just say, what's going to differentiate yourself from the masses? Like, what is everybody else doing that you are not doing? Or what are you doing that everybody else is not doing? Like, what is going to make you stand out? What's going to make you special? What's going to make you the choice for people to go to? So no matter what you're specializing in, why would people choose you over everybody else? For us, people choose Inspired by You because they want quality. They choose Inspired by You because we're women don't. I mean, like that's something that's a differentiating factor. They choose us because, you know, because we're faith led and we're not afraid to talk about God. Like some people are gravitate towards that. Like, you know, so what's going to differentiate yourself from all of the other people? And if that's the people that we're attracting, then we've got a great client base. Like our customers are some of the best people that we've come in contact with. And so no matter what your industry is, and what you're specializing in, what makes you special, and just blast that. Like that's what you should focus on when you're marketing and whatnot, because people hire us for quality, and when they want interior painting services, they will come to us, not because we're the cheapest in town, right? They will come to us because they know, man, if they can do cabinets the way that they do cabinets, then they're going to do my walls really well. You know, like that's why they would hire us for interior painting. And the service that it provides, they have Chad as a contact point. Like he's so instrumental in providing a service to our customers where they don't have to track down other contractors. Because if you've ever tried to schedule contractors, like for us to find the contractors that we have, it took us many years. Just because so many contractors are unreliable and so many people don't show up when they show up and so many people don't get estimates out when they do. And Chad is somebody who give an estimate and he'll get it out to them and he'll follow up. And he's a great point of contact. If our contractors are screwing up, he deals with the contractors. Our customers don't have that burden. So, I mean, Chad's such a great asset in that capacity because he just provides such a great service to our customers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback one more thing off that separator. Be a separator, like Corey said. And separator is this. Within 24 hours, can you get back with the person who wants an appointment within 24 hours? Or do you let them go and go and go? I just heard this yesterday. Somebody's been trying to call people for months, and I ended up referring two other guys to for like other things that he needed done construction-wise and stuff. And he was so excited. And I already know I'm going to nail the job of the whole house interior and the cabinets because I went out of my way to help him when he was getting no help and no callbacks. So many contractors are falling short because they're not calling people back. And then they don't get the jobs. You could easily separate yourself by calling somebody within 24 hours and book an appointment or having a great CRM system like Drip Jobs. And be really professional. How people are like, man, our Drip Jobs is so professional. We just know you're different. And I will also say this. I'm a copier, but I'm a copier in watching people who are successful and who have good fruit on the tree. But I don't want to copy exactly what they do because I want to make it my own. I see nowadays in this local market, people copy Corey all the time. And it's so funny. But they almost are advertising for us because it looks like us. And it comes right back to us. And it's just, be a fruit finder, but then make it your own.
Sure. So we've, you know, we obviously believe in that, right? Painter Marketing Pros, we specialize in working with painters. I'm confident, very confident we're the best in the industry at doing it, right? Because we, with marketing for painters, there's a unique way that you need to do it that we've mastered. Cabinet requires a higher level of skill, requires a different infrastructure than maybe exterior or interior painting would require. Exterior painting is probably the easiest to sub out, if you will, right? There's less of a customer experience or potential issues that would go on there. But one of the things that I see that people do are questions that people will ask me about specialization versus diversification. To me, it seems like they don't get it. So they kind of think, hey, we should choose something because then we could say that we chose this thing. And that's a little bit like what you guys are saying with the, hey, you know, be known for something or differentiate yourself in some way, right? So there's the aspect of differentiate yourself just by looking different. And then there's the aspect of differentiate yourself by actually being better, right? And you guys are better with the cabinets. We're better with the marketing. But then there are people who say, hey, what if I just do interior or if I just do exterior? And they're approaching it not from this, am I going to go in and provide the quality, lead with the quality that Corey, you were talking about, that then's going to say, oh my gosh, if they did this with the cabinets, I can't imagine what they're going to do with the walls, but they just want to say, hey, we just do interior or we just do exterior. What are your, can somebody start like that? And then maybe they figure out the quality over time, or they figure out that in and of itself is not enough, or they just want to focus on the exterior and call themselves the exterior experts. How would you guys walk someone through that? Who's saying, I think I'll sell better if I niche down, but maybe they're not thinking about it the same way you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Can I start there, Corey?
Yeah, you go. Corey?
Yeah. Listen, I think you just got to go, and you figure it out in your journey and enjoy the journey, enjoy the process of it. I mean, everything Corey and I have ever done, it started small and ended up big. Mm-hmm. Everything. And why I say that is because we built something very significant in a multi-level marketing business. But I remember when it was small. I remember what we did when we were small. And I can't believe what happened to it when it went big. And then when we started over again with something else, I bought a bread business, a bread route business. Started small, ended up big. Corey started out of the garage, started small. She had no idea it would be where it is today. You just have to go and get started and enjoy the journey and figure it out along the way. I don't think Corey ever said, I'm going to be the cabinet expert. I think it just happened in the journey. And I think people need to just enjoy the journey. I think people get stuck by not, and I'll say this to me, even some other ideas I have in life, is I get stuck thinking about it rather than just doing it. And I think they just need to do it.
Nike, just do it.
Just yeah. Do it. Just do it. Yeah. I
but
think that
everything starts small. Everything starts small.
Yeah. And again, it's just not being afraid to fail and accentuating what, again, like even if quality isn't your thing just yet, because you're just starting out or whatever, what makes you different? Like, okay, so when I was starting, I would put pictures of my kids up there, you know, like let people get to know me. Like I'm a woman. I love my kids. I love my family. I love my faith. Like, what makes you different? Why would people want to buy from you as opposed to Joe Schmo down the road? And I just think of like somebody like Curtis Tankersley with Just Add Paint. He's right down the road from us. He has a great interior, like a residential painting business. And you know that his crew has fun. Like they love music. You know that they have fun together. You know that their clients love them. Like when I think like, you know about a company just by what they're posting on social media, and you can kind of get a feel for what they're like. And that should be a goal, is to just, you have a mix of that professional posting, like where you're doing before and afters, and you have a mix of that purposeful posting where you're adding value to people, but you also want to have that personal touch. Like, what makes you different? So again, like if you're just starting out, like why would I want to buy from you? And why would I want to use your service as opposed to somebody else down the road? You know, and there's benefits, and people will choose, like Curtis is right down the road. People will choose his business over ours. Like some people just like that better. And that's okay, because there's a ton of houses, you know, and we support that business and they support us. And it's just, I think if more of us worked together like that and lifted each other instead of trying to beat each other down, it would be a much better environment.
There's a ton of houses. So that is an abundance mindset, and it's true. This is not a very limited market. You know, we're all friends here with Chris Mole. You know, he's running a highly successful company in a town of like 12,000 people, you know, something just ludicrously low. Right. So the odds are that wherever you're located, you have a lot of market opportunity, and we'll have people come in sometimes, have a strategy session with us, and they'll be at like a million population or 500,000 population, and they're like $1 million company, and they think it's time to diversify. But they need to diversify because they've tapped out their market. Do math that Jason Paris walks through. You know, calculate your number of Sherwin stores, how much paint sold per year, how much of that goes toward, you know, residential repaints, and you do this math, you end up figuring out that you own a very, very small percentage of that market. So if you're diversifying because you think you've tapped out your market, I would encourage you to not look at it that way. I would encourage you to look at it more how Corey and Chad are looking at this. Like, hey, this is money that's basically being left on the table. You've established this trust. When you go in and you do a cabinet repaint, refinish, there's typically going to be, you know, a countertop installation, or there's often going to be interior painting to follow. You're already in the home. The cost of sale is basically zero. They already trust you. You can make a healthy profit margin on it because they've seen your quality and they trust you and they're ready to work with you. So you're just leaving money on the table by not offering it.
Yeah.
That's different from, hey, I think it'll be easier. This object's shinier. This guy down the street's making more money. So let me go do that. That's probably not the right reason to diversify.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually the cabinet profit at a yearly will be less than all the extras.
Yeah.
It really will be.
Yeah.
It really will be. And we'll never do more than two cabinets a week. We have a plan to someday do to search out woman owned businesses and do all sales and marketing for them right from our office and help build their businesses and keep their calendars filled.
Yeah, and I think Chad had touched on this earlier, but just not being afraid to be who you are. Some people kind of skew their perception on social media I remember being at a PCA conference one time, and somebody came up to me and they're like, how do you do it? And I was like, how do we do what? I'm like, how do you like put up this front every day? And you know, just with your posts and stuff, like how do you get your team to smile? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, we're always smiling. Like, that's who we are.
I'm like, it's threat of death. Look happy or die.
Yeah, it's so crazy, because you don't be afraid to be who you are. Like, people will not use our business because we are faith-led. Some people just don't like that. Some people will not use our business because we have a team of women. Like, who cares? Like, they're not our customer. Like, don't be afraid to be who you are. because you'll attract the right people for your business. And again, there's so many other houses and people and customers that they can go to somebody else. I think so many people think that they have to put on this front or this, they have to do the right thing and post the, you know, just all the perfect stuff. You don't. Like sometimes some of the posts that I think will get no traction are the ones that get the most. It's wild to me.
And I don't think people should chase other people's businesses either. I think that's a big hiccup in people's businesses. They hear they hear numbers. I don't want to say successful, not successful. They hear numbers and they hear big numbers. Hey, we did this many million this year. And we've always been in the mindset, listen, what does our family need? And do we have a profitable business and not a job? And that's the goal, whether it's 1 million or if it's 3 million or if it's 5 million or if it's 10 million. And I think people sometimes they chase those numbers and like, well, I'm not successful if I don't do this many million. I disagree with that. I think you're successful for what you need for your family.
Yeah.
If that's like 500,000, like, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a million. Like it's, I think some people beat themselves up tremendously. Yep. If they're not chasing the Joneses.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. And it's unfortunate. And I think it kind of happens because you look to these companies that have scale, right? They've achieved some level of, I guess, revenue success, whether or not they're profitable or not. Because we know that if they're at, you know, 100,000, they're in the field, they're doing the work. And maybe they don't, maybe they want to be doing that. Maybe they don't want to be doing that, right? So we kind of put out this, hey, these are the bigger companies. These are the companies that have scale and gotten to here, and here's what they've done. But how do you convey that information while maintaining the frame of mind? Like, hey, just because they're at, like you said, 5 million or 10 million or 3 million, doesn't mean that you're not successful if you're not at that. It's look at your life, map out your expenses, map out what you want, kind of your why. You know, why are you doing this? What does your life look like? Ramit Sethi, I think is how you pronounce his last name. He's should not have been following him for some time, but he has a show that came out recently on Netflix called Your Rich Life. And he's basically talking about everyone's rich life looks different. So what is important to you? He's very against the, you know, there's all these schools of thought like, hey, a $5 cup of coffee every day, don't buy it because then you add it up and you save all this money, right? He says, if you want the coffee, if that makes you feel rich, get the coffee. And so it's, what are your priorities? Don't cut back mercilessly, relentlessly on the things that don't bring you value because you shouldn't just waste money there, and then spend what other people might view as exorbitant or stupid on the things that you do value, right? And go spend on those things. So I think the same can be applied to your business. You if $1 million, if someone else has a company at 1 million or 500,000, and they feel like they're not successful because they want to be at 5 million, but you have a business there and you are successful because you're meeting your needs. You're home on the weekends. You're working 9 to 5. You're or whatever it is that you want to do, and you're bringing home the amount of money you need to live. This is all about carving your journey and your destination. We're entrepreneurs. No one has to tell you what you want. If you want that, then go, you know, go apply for a position at Walmart. You're running your own business.
Question.
And I think the point you guys too made about, you kind of tag teamed at different times throughout this episode, is don't be all things to all people. And that will inherently repel people. So there are people who will not do business with you because of the way that you act or because of your values or because it just isn't a fit for them. But not only does that basically make sure that the people you're working with are good, it's actually going to make your experience and your projects run more smoothly. It's probably going to make you have less customer issues. It's probably going to make you have a higher percentage of positive reviews out of your projects because you're starting off on the right foot.
Yeah.
What's your guys' process for trying to get reviews?
Go ahead, Chad.
No, I mean, I don't think it was very good. And so I think we did a horrible job up until just September.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, we should have way more reviews than we do have. But we just never focused on it, to be honest with you. Would you agree with that, Corey? Like, it's more of a focus now than we ever did before. So, like I said, with trip jobs, I mean, automatically when they get their final receipt for their invoice, we already hit them with a review and, ask them for a review. I bet you we got more in the last 5 months than we have in years. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yep.
And it was just a simple tweak. You know what I mean? Of asking for it rather than just automatically thinking they were going to do it.
Yeah.
That goes back to what you were saying, Chad, just with the communication, leveraging a CRM like Drip Jobs, but building that efficiency and that technology into your company can be a game changer.
Yeah. And just making it user-friendly. Like before we would ask for reviews, but like it, just making it as easy as possible for your customers. I think that that's been a game changer too.
Yeah. Cause they get a link and all they had to do is click on it and fill it out and it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so keep it simple.
So in general, you guys are both pretty big fans of specialization. Is that fair to say?
I would say so. I think that it's because we like to establish ourselves as a team of excellence. Like, I think that it would be hard to be excellent in multiple areas, you know? And so it's, I would encourage it, like become an expert at a specific thing. And then you can add in things that would be complementary. But I think that it's worked really well for us.
So let's push this a step further, because you had said, you know, that some companies will use subcontractors, and for you guys, that might not be the right fit. And I know that culturally, you want to build a team. You want that team to be very excited to work, and happy team makes happy customers at the end of the day.
Right.
If people are saying, hey, I'm listening to this, I like this, I want to specialize, I want to be the best in my field, in my area, does that mean that they have to use W-2 employees?
No, not at all.
No, I don't think so, because I think there's a lot of, I mean, look at Brad. I mean, I think he's probably the best of the best in his area, but I don't think he has any W-2. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk out of turn, but I mean, I think he just had some excellent background of the industry too, that he brought. He knows how to work with subcontractors, which I'll say this, I bet you Brad would say this. I bet he feels like those subcontractors are his team, but they're subcontractors. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're just the name of a subcontractor, but I bet you he treats them like a team. Basically, like we treat our people like a team. You know, I mean, that's what I think. The way I know Brad and Rachel, I just think they probably treat those people like their team.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, if that's the way, like, you can specialize with subcontractors. Like, I feel like that's what they're doing. They're specializing with subcontractors, and they're becoming the best of the best in that field because that's what they're good at. Like, they have a proven process that's setting people up for success, that's setting their subcontractors up for success. Like, they have the, you know, just all of the stuff that they need to run a successful business that is specializing with subcontractors. So I think that is a type of specialization.
Sure.
Yeah. And I bet you, listen, how we got our lead interior painter is I made sure he kept his calendar stayed full, that he couldn't work for somebody else. Yeah. And now, you know, that's what I did, you know, so now he wants to work for us full time. He wants to come on board rather than being a subcontractor.
Yeah.
So I bet you Brad does that too. Like, if you were a painter and you don't have to go looking for work, I bet you're like, I'll do anything for you, buddy. Like, hey, Brad, call me, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I love it, man. And the subcontractor route, you kind of get to, I guess, work with a lot of talent. And so you can figure out the crews that are just phenomenal, and you can make sure those crews are kept as busy as humanly possible so that they really become loyal and kind of like employees, I guess, of your company.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been the challenge, is just finding those people that, like, with our interior painter, because we're known for quality, we have to be like our interior painter has to be on point.
Yeah.
Like he has to be incredibly attention to detail. He has to deliver the quality that our customers expect, because they are paying for quality. They're not paying for like a general interior paint job. And so to sift through and to, again, learn from failure, and to find the right people, that's been the challenge. But now that we've found one, he's been incredible. And he's in line with everything that we do. Like he wants to train other painters how to get the results that he's getting. So that's just kind of how we operate here. So it makes sense for him to become like a W-2 with us and join our team and grow in that realm.
I'm so happy you said that, because you guys have found a really good interior painter, and that's your challenge now. And you have someone who can train people and is motivated and will probably be good at doing that. But then we've also talked about hearing these big numbers and 1 million, 3 million, 5 million, 10 million. Those things are sometimes at odds because you're trying to control this quality, and therefore you're saying that's your biggest challenge. If you and Chad could be out just crushing sales in a way that maybe he's not because of these other parameters and quality control concerns. Do you find that because of your focus on quality, because of your needing to protect your reputation and make sure that your clients are getting the best results possible, you grow more slowly?
I would say that's been a bit of an inhibiting factor. I mean, Chad, despite all, like Chad still, I shouldn't think what he could do if he was not held back by all of his other stuff, because he is like, he's sell, like just our January numbers. I think he said he was on track to sell 2.2 million this year, and just like all of that stuff by himself. And generally a good sales guy will generate like 1.5 million a year. And so he's selling like crazy. But
there's so much stuff sold right. Already too. Cause it's a relationship thing, man, too. And that right now with four hats, I feel like I wear daily, it's the follow up and follow through. And we were taught that, man, and selling energy drinks and vitamins and cosmetics and skincare. It's the follow up and follow through that is the personal high. Yes. Be high tech, but be high touch.
High tech and high touch. I like that.
Yep. Yeah, I forget my thought there, but I don't know if it was slow though, Bray. Like if we looked at Corey's numbers, I always go back to Corey. Like to me, I brag on her all day long, and I brag on her team all day long. That's my job. You know what I mean? They do the hard work. I do the easy work. I get to tell the story all day long. That's what I do. But what Corey has done from her garage to now, I don't know if it's slow growth. You see, I mean, that's a perspective too. Like, I don't think she grew slow. I think people, if they really dug into looking at how it started to where it is now, they'd be like, holy heck, how did that happen? Because it blows my mind where she has come since that garage. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
And that's where we want to empower and uplift, only because Corey's a woman business owner, nothing wrong with the guys, but that's our niche too. We want to go help other women business owners who are running businesses like this and take them from a garage to where this is and make it successful just like Corey did.
And I love that. How are you guys going to do that?
We're going to do virtual sales online. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take that big burden off of people's shoulders. And fill their calendar so they can produce and then eventually get out and train other people to produce, and they can just work with the people and project manager and be the owner.
Are we talking about, I just want to get clear here. Are we talking about another company you guys are going to create here? What are we talking about right now?
We're talking about building offices right there where Corey's sitting, and we'll have, so many salespeople sitting in there doing estimates in different areas across the United States, right, virtually online. Through personal connection through Zoom or Google Meetup with video and doing their estimate. We can do estimates back to back to back and not even have to drive and just do it virtually with them.
And so we were talking about like just as inspired by you gross. Like Chad and I were both just very entrepreneurial minded. Yeah. Like I'm not a cabinet refinisher. I'm an entrepreneur. Like that's just how my mindset is. So as we grow and scale, like we've developed some great systems and processes with cabinet refinishing here. Like there's no doubt, like what we've got, it's pretty special and it's pretty awesome. But how can we grow and scale without adding to the burden of our employees, you know, and what are some other ways that we could grow? And one of those ways is by diversifying through subcontractors like countertops, backsplash flooring, like growing our cabinet refinishing business to 1.5 and then 1.5 in sales with all of the other stuff. Like that's an easy way to scale because we're keeping where we're at with cabinet refinishing, but we're diversifying there. What's another way that we can grow and scale? Well, we can duplicate what we've done here at Inspired by You. Like not franchise specifically, but we can create a model where other people, we can train and we can develop other businesses across the nation because through social media, I've developed a network across the nation. We can train other business models, other businesses, and then we can all, we can develop where we can use our sales model and we can go and sell for all of these other Inspired by Yous all across the nation. And so it would be just a way that we can empower other women across the country. It would be a way that we can alleviate that sales, the demand of selling and generating business. We can all share photos like this is an Inspired by You before and after, and we can all share, we can help with the marketing concepts. Like there's just so many things, like it's kind of limitless, the possibilities of what we can do in the future. And so we're just, it's in like the beginning phases of it. And we've been talking through a lot of the logistics and how we're going to do this and when we're going to be doing this, but it's already developing. And so I think so many people, with that scarce mindset, they're constantly asking me like, why do you share everything? How do you share everything? Like you're constantly sharing like your process and your system and your SOPs and why do you share all of this stuff? And I'm like, well, if you are doing what I'm doing today, then you're already a step behind my business because we're so far ahead. Like we're constantly growing with our mindset. And tomorrow we're going to be growing. We're going to be doing it differently. So if you take our SOPs from, let's just say last August to where we are today, it's completely different. Like, I mean, we have the same base, but we're doing a lot. We've implemented so many more efficiencies to grow and to produce better results in just a 6-month period. So we're free to share because it's such a different mindset. It's more of a growth mindset, a wealth mindset, because we're constantly doing something new and different.
Boy, that gave me goosebumps, man. That was awesome. Incredible. Yeah, you guys are doing really, really big things.
Yeah. Well, we love to, I think that we have been blessed with so many great things here. If we can empower other businesses to grow and operate and to bless people and across the nation, I think why not? Why put limits on what we can do? And I think that I was just talking with one of our teammates this morning, who was saying she has trouble setting goals. And I just said, I have trouble setting goals too. Cause if you would have asked me 5 years ago where we would be today, there's no way. Like if I would have set goals 5 years ago, I would have totally put limits on what we could accomplish and we wouldn't be where we are today. But it's pretty awesome when you just, I mean, for us, we just walk by faith and it blows the doors off and I didn't pick up a sprayer until 2018. Like to think of that, to where we are now, spraying industrial coatings in a state-of-the-art spray booth, like in this incredible facility, it's mind blowing what can happen. And so we love thinking outside of the box and growing and changing every day.
I feel like you just opened up 2 hours of conversation as we're wrapping this up.
Corey.
You talked about if you would have set goals, then you wouldn't be where you're at today. And I'm like, oh man, you know, there's a lot to unpack right there. So hopefully we'll get to that next time, because I think that's a major point you just made. I do want to get like a quick follow-up from you here now, maybe. If Yeah, because everyone always says set goals, right? Set goals. I have kind of done more of what you do. Like, hey, I'm gonna work as hard and chase opportunities and try to do the best I can and see what happens and not kind of put limits or exactly what needs to happen. But that's contrarian to the advice we always receive.
Yeah, I know. I think that I definitely think differently than a lot of people, because everybody is like, where are you going to be at this time? And I'm like, no, I can't, because I think for us being faith led, for me, I feel like it's putting limits on what God can do. And I think that my God is a very big God. So it's, for me, I definitely think so much different. But I love putting things, I was just talking with Ryan here today, and she was saying how, I said, what are your goals? She didn't know. And I said, well, if you could be anywhere where in life, where you want to be, what would it look like? And so she was telling me, and I was like, oh, so basically you're looking for peace of mind. Like, you don't want to be stressed about money. You don't want to be stressed about, you know, where you're going to live. You don't want to be stressed about, like, a lot. You're just looking for peace of mind. You want time and money, right? She's like, yeah. I said, put it up in front of you, like visualize it, see it. Like, and that's not like setting a goal. It's just like putting it out in front of you and like casting that vision, because I believe that if you have a vision, it can come to pass. And so you attract what you believe. And so I said, just put it up in front of you, write it on your mirror with the dry erase marker, you know, peace of mind, put it everywhere, because that's going to help you. You are in life where you are because of the choices that you've made. And so I said, if you have that out in front of you all of the time, it will help you make choices that are going to help you get closer to that. And so I think that there's just something to be said about having that vision, but also believing so big and not having goals per se. I mean, I think that goals are great, but I believe, like, if you make the right choices and if you're constantly striving for excellence, everything you want in life you're not going to have to worry about a thing. So it's just a different way of thinking.
Corey, I'm so happy we're doing this podcast series together.
Me too.
I feel like I'm getting to see a side of you that I hadn't seen as.
Yeah.
I like it here. I thought, you know, we're on the marketing committee together and I thought you were a little more tame or docile. You're a lion. You're a beast.
I know, you got to pray for Chad. Has to deal with me.
I love it. You are. I would always joke, you're flipping the tables. You probably are actually flipping the tables. You're laughing like, I would never do that. As soon as that Zoom camera's off, 10 tables are flipped. Now I know.
I can get very passionate about things I believe in.
Good. Guys, this has been incredible. Is there anything else you want to touch base on regarding diversification versus specialization, or anything else we talked about today before we wrap up this episode?
No, I think I'm good. Chad, do you have anything to add?
I'm good.
I appreciate you guys. Chad, I know we ran over a couple minutes. You got a bubbly personality and a beautiful smile, so I know that you're going to make the sale regardless.
Sounds great.
Appreciate you, Brandon.
Guys.
All right, we'll see ya. Bye.
If you want to learn more about the topics we discussed in this podcast and how you can use them to grow your painting business, visit paintermarketingpros.com/podcast for free training, as well as the ability to schedule a personalized strategy session for your painting company. Again, that URL is paintermarketingpros.com/podcast.
Hey there, painting company owners. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Give us your feedback. Let us know how we did. And also, if you're interested in taking your painting business to the next level, make sure you visit the Painter Marketing Pros website at paintermarketingpros.com to learn more about our services. You can also reach out to me directly by emailing me at brandon@paintermarketingpros.com, and I can give you personalized advice on growing your painting business. Until next time, keep growing.
PaintEd podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.